from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Ursula, what do you think I'm going to say this morning?
I never try to guess. I always know it's just going to be random, especially on a Monday morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, so I thought you'd guess it. And I thought you'd guess it because we had very sunny days this weekend.
Saturday
and Sunday, right? And so I remember what I said before. So I want to ask it again,
okay.
Right? Which one of you all spent your time out in the yard all weekend?
Oh, my. It was the perfect yard weather this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'll raise my hand. You know what? It's a couple of notable things happening today.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's tax day, in case you all didn't remember
okay,
that.
So you want to start the show off?
Yeah. No. But like, this is the start of what I believe is the most glorious time of year in the Pacific Northwest. Do you know why?
Why?
We have our first 8 p.m. sunset of the year tonight.
Let me see.
April 15th.
It says 8 p.m. on my watch. Yeah,
uh-huh.
8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
That always gets you happy. You get ready for the pool, right?
Pretty soon.
Sure.
A couple more months, though.
All right.
Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
All right, make sure you guys text in. I want to know what you did over the weekend and outside of doing yard work. All right, Ursula's top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40 Susu in Auburn.
Seattle Public Schools has lost nearly 4,000 students in the past 5 years, and apparently there's little chance of a rebound. 5 years ago, nearly 53,000 students attended Seattle Public Schools. This year, that number has dropped to about 49,000. The story comes from the Seattle Times. They're reporting that the district is now doing a survey in hopes of pinpointing why exactly families are leaving or not even enrolling their students in the first place. Seattle actually isn't alone in seeing a drop in their numbers, though. On a national level, enrollment is expected to decrease by 4% between 2020 and 2030. So, as you read in this article, the district is using a $100,000 state grant to figure out where the kids are. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, that $100,000, they don't even have to spend $100,000. Just send it to the G and Ursula Show. Send us a $50 Starbucks gift card.
Uh-huh. And we'll figure it out for you.
And a $10 gift card to Crumble to get two cookies. That's all they need to do to send to us. Well, first, this is something that I think we can all kind of understand. And even in reading the article, they gave you two reasons. They talk about the increasing numbers of those going to private school. This is a topic that you talked about during the pandemic. We talked about it a lot. Waiting lists for private schools were going up. Parents were like, you know what? I'm done with the public schools. I'm going to go to private school. So we talked about that.
Yeah,
you talked about it a lot.
Yeah, the private schools were able to open up sooner.
Yeah.
They were able to, I hate to use the word pivot, but they were able to pivot much more quickly than the public schools when it came to the pandemic. Yes.
And they also talk about in the article, they talk about the fact that, you know, let's be real. The cost of living in Seattle is real, right? There's a lot of people that are moving away from here to be able to afford to live. We've
seen
that happen.
But that doesn't explain what's going on elsewhere. Nationally, okay. We're seeing a decline, too.
No doubt. The most important factor that's not in the article that I wanted to bring to the table is very simple. Nick, Paul, and David Burbank, the Gen Z population, a lot of kids, your kids and their friends. Let's keep it real, y'all. These folks ain't having kids.
Yeah,
They're just not what they're doing because they have heard all of the things that we've gone through. We know that daycare is through the roof. We know that being able to buy a home is through the roof. We saw people with college student loan debt. So Gen Z is learning from the past and saying, you know what? I'm not going to have kids. When we were younger, Ursula, our peers, 18, 19 years old, they already had kids. A lot of our friends had kids, but today they're not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not into the kids having kids part, and I'm okay with that. But how do you feel about this idea where our next generation is really fearful of bringing kids into the world? That actually
does it
is depressing to me.
It's not depressing enough to us. It's not depressing enough for us to do anything about it. It's not depressing enough for us to be able to make a world where people or young Gen Z and the youngsters are able to buy a home. It's not depressing enough to us that we have folks with full-time jobs, work 40 hours a week, and can't afford to live on their own. We got teachers. We got people that working for the city and the county. We have mental health counselors. We have those working in the system that can't even afford. How about this? You got people that are working in housing to help people get housing, and yet they can't afford a house. So it ain't depressing enough. Not for us, for you personally it is, but not for us as a society, because we want to keep doing things the same way and just waiting. It's like being on the Titanic, Ursula. It's like being in a band. Like, oh, we're just going to keep playing the music until it just goes down.
Okay, so let's turn this frown upside down. Okay. So what are you proposing? This is a Monday.
Okay, I apologize.
It's early.
Okay, well, let's turn it upside down. First, how about this? We need to figure out a better system in which we allocate the money.
Yeah, how about we need to offer more support to our young people?
Oh, there's that, right? That's a whole deeper lane right there. But what's happening is a lot of kids that don't have these resources, that don't have the ability to, we talked about youth sports and being able to play these things where we were younger, we played in the neighborhood, rec sports were only about $50, $60 for the season to play that sport, as opposed to some of the other things where they're $5,000 or $3,500. So some families can't afford to do those things. So we got a lot of kids with free time out here. So what do I propose? Well, this is very easy. You know, I think we need to figure out a way on how we can supplement income for people in this country a lot more. But I know people don't want to hear that, but we want to just keep going down this road, as in you just need to work harder. And I get it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Work harder. Don't buy avocado toast. Don't buy your lattes. And we're just going to keep doing this.
I guess I want to hear from our listeners. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line 888-973-5476, 888-973-CAIRO. When you hear about declining numbers, not just in Seattle public schools, but in schools in general, and the idea of lower birth rates, and you've probably heard from the young people in your life, I certainly have, where they're not in a rush to have kids. They want to wait, or they're even contemplating not. With one conversation that I had with my niece and nephew who were saying, I don't know that I want to bring kids into this world. It's so difficult. And I don't know that I want to have my children have to face what we're dealing with today. That's bleak.
It is.
It's also nothing new. I mean, if you're listening right now and you're old enough to remember nuclear fallout drills in your school, there were a lot of people during that time, the Vietnam War, et cetera, who were like, I'm not bringing kids into a world like this. The difference is today, the financial outlook.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the studies on American sentiments on whether they believe their children will grow up to be financially better off than they were, it is only within the last 10 years that people started answering no to that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, that gives you a lot of food for thought. Okay.
We do need more resources. And by the way, I'm quite sure at some point, whether it's this week, there's going to be in one of your news stories, we're going to be talking about teens and committing crimes, right? Everything's
That'll be in Heather's newscast, because
it's all connected. Everything is connected, everyone. Seriously.
Well, speaking of crime, the killing of a homeless man in West Seattle is raising questions about how we talk about and treat people who are less fortunate or are living on the streets. Yeah. On Christmas Day of 2020, 42-year-old Thomas Norton was pushing a shopping cart onto a private driveway, and surveillance camera video shows him picking up ornaments and packages when a homeowner comes out to confront him, and then another neighbor quickly joins in.
Get out of here.
The Seattle Times reports the men tackled Norton and restrained his hands behind his back with zip ties. They told police that they were afraid that he would keep fighting them or that maybe he was even armed. And while they had him pinned down, they both called 911 separately. And a medic told one of the men that he needed to start performing CPR because Norton wasn't moving and hadn't been moving for several minutes. But the guy refused, saying that it was during COVID and he didn't want to take that risk. So it was another 3.5 minutes before another neighbor, and this was only on the dispatcher's insistence that someone be given the phone so that the dispatcher could talk this person through doing CPR. Yeah. But Norton was eventually taken to the hospital where he died 3 days later. So his autopsy said that his death was a homicide because of the physical restraint, and then meth intoxication and cardiovascular disease were additional factors, but not the main factors. Mm-hmm. The King County Prosecutor's Office did not press charges against these two men, saying that they did have the right to detain Norton after he apparently committed a felony with the picking up of the packages. Norton's family disagrees, though, and the family has now filed a lawsuit against these two men, and then there was another woman who was involved in restraining him. Mm. Based on what I've just told you, you be the jury. How are you weighing in? Should they have been criminally charged?
No. They should not have. Read the whole thing, went through it, and first I want to just say this because I want to make sure. My heart goes out to this man's family. They lost a loved one. I want to be clear. My opinion does not take that away. But my opinion on this is there had been a history of packages, things being stolen on this block. People were watching. This is 2020. In 2020, we do know that there was not many people out. We know during that time it was a pandemic that was going on, right? People were at home a lot. In this case right here, what ended up killing him was, according to what's being said, is that they tried to hold him down and all those things. And they were trying to hold him down and wait for the authorities to come to get this guy. It's not like they came out with baseball bats. It's not like they came out with pistols blazing, which sometimes could possibly happen. But in this case, this particular case right here, Ursula, I do not believe that those men should be charged. I don't think it was their intent to kill this person.
So I don't think it is that clear to me.
Really?
I don't know that it was their intent. It doesn't have to be intent to be charged criminally. Because, what? I mean, look at the case of Manny Ellis. A lot of this is very...
I think you can't put it in the same thing. I don't think you could put this and Manny Ellis in the same thing.
But you're talking about someone who is physically restrained, using zip ties, potentially knee to the neck or close to the neck.
Yep.
He's struggling to breathe. They tell him you need to start doing CPR. Initially it was, no, I'm not going to do CPR. It's another 3.5 minutes.
COVID during that time. You know, I just want to add context. No, you know, most people who have just apprehended someone that has stole something is not going to readily go ahead and try to do CPR on someone. Like I said, this is not Manny Ellis, and this is different because you're talking about trained law enforcement and how they should have handled it. So I don't even want to put that topic close to this. But this particular topic here, while I agree that we do have a problem with the way that we discuss those that are homeless, because people have made those homeless out to be villains, and they say the text message we got last week calling them crack addicts and all those things. We do have a problem. We do have a problem with vigilante justice. Mm-hmm. We do have a problem with that. But
let's go back to the fact that this is a man who was accused of stealing and probably stole packages.
Yeah, but
stealing packages going all the way to, and now he's dead.
Yeah, but what crime? What crime?
Why not call 911?
Because they wanted to catch him in the act, and which is on the video them,
and then they restrain him. We got two people on top of him. He's struggling to breathe.
He's making like
he's making. Yeah,
I get it, but what crime do you guys want to put on these citizens? Like, they should have known better? What were they supposed to do?
I don't know, G. I mean, just imagine it this way, the optics of this. Somebody goes into like a Walgreens pharmacy, right? They steal a bottle of liquor and they run out the store. The security guard tackles them. Another guy jumps on his chest and they're sitting on him for like 3.5 minutes. The guy's not breathing, stops moving. That looks pretty darn egregious. And the fact that you're running out of your house at 12 a.m. with zip ties, like, who has zip ties, like, in their pocket?
Hold on. Maybe you don't have zip.
No, very clearly, these people were looking to get it, like, they wanted to catch this guy and make sure he was caught.
Okay, well, real quick.
When you go a little bit too far.
Wait, I don't have zip ties. You don't have zip ties. Some people have zip ties, okay?
Handy? Like, in 5 seconds?
Whether they had it handy or not, if someone now is being, you are restraining them and they are struggling to breathe, there's no chance of them. I mean, they're telling you, you need to do CPR on this person. This person is struggling to breathe. You refuse. You continue. It takes another 3.5 minutes. Frankly, I think the family has something.
No. Have you guys ever been in a fight? Do you guys know what adrenaline does?
And so that excuses your adrenaline, excuses you from any sort of liability or any sort of accountability?
Yeah, and most people know how to give up in a fight, right? He's done.
Whoa.
They're done.
Packages were being stolen. It was a history of packages being stolen on this block. They look and find, there's the person stealing the package. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't go out there with this understanding of, we're going to apprehend him. And then once we apprehend him, we got to make sure he can breathe. I'm a citizen. I'm going to make sure I got the person. I'm going to hold this person down. And this person is telling whatever all those. I don't have any training. I don't have any training at all, but I'm going to call the police and come and get this guy. What are we talking about? Like, I don't have a right to apprehend somebody that's stealing stuff.
You have a right to apprehend somebody. You don't have a right to kill them.
They didn't mean to kill this person. They didn't come out like.
How much restraint does a zip-tied individual need, especially once they stop breathing and don't move?
Look. It's unfortunate
we're going to agree.
I can't even believe that you guys are disagreeing with me on this. Like, you guys really want to give this person, may God rest his soul, but man, he's out there stealing stuff and neighbors are like, hey, we want to come out here and we want to apprehend this person.
What you're telling me is we are okay with I'm okay with defending your family, defending your property, but at some point the person is restrained. It's not going to cause any more harm. You hear them now gasping for breath. I think that you can back off.
Well, what if these, at least they went out there with zip ties? Hear me out for a second. I'm not going out with zip ties, y'all. Me, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going out with, but I'm not going out with zip ties. These citizens went out with zip ties. They could have come out with much worse, right? But they didn't. They didn't come out there with the intent to kill this man. Unfortunately, he did die in this situation, and that's not what they wanted to do. So that's why we can agree to disagree. Still love y'all, though. That was fun. What are we going to do next at 9:30, my friend? What are
we
going to do?
Well, we can talk about the things that Amazon is selling. And is Amazon responsible for something that led to 15 deaths? So that is one thing. Also, on the football player who is accused of sexually assaulting two women, UW and the former Husky coach now have said something about that. Okay. So we'll give you an update. We're going to continue our top stories. How's that?
Oh, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Next, G and Ursula.
Welcome back. back to the G and Ursula show on feisty Monday morning.
Yeah. You wanted to get spicy, Ursula.
Oh, my goodness.
You got a text message?
I got a text message from a friend, my friend Isabel, who says, I have never agreed with G more in my entire listening of your show. He is 100% spot on with his opinion.
Wait a minute.
I had to say, I'm not surprised you agree with him on that one.
Wait a minute. Somebody just texted and said, never in my life have I agreed with G until today. Hold on.
If you missed that conversation, you need to go listen to our podcast. Well, we would love it if you do that. Our podcasts are available half hour after the show.
I want you to know that I actually learned something from my boss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what did
so
you learn?
You tell me, always put the good news on there.
Yes.
So I want to tell you good news.
Okay.
One of our bosses actually taught me something. He said that he did some training, CPR training and everything, and I guess you're supposed to just go with the chest compressions.
You don't have to put mouth to mouth. Exactly. Because people were saying, how dare you, Ursula, say you need to do CPR during COVID?
Oh, did somebody say that?
Yes. You don't have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I see someone who is dying, I will try to do something.
All right.
Okay. But anyway, let's continue with our top stories.
Okay.
Hundreds of fans with fake tickets were turned away from a concert at the Paramount in Seattle last week.
Uh-huh.
Kathy Malik spent more than $400 back in December on two tickets to see rising star Loi Fei. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But when her daughter and a friend showed up at the Paramount on Wednesday, they were in for a rude surprise. Hang on.
All that fight.
And they texted me and said, Mom, the tickets don't work.
Uh-oh. So Kathy was shocked. She asked her daughter to double check with a Paramount again.
It said, don't worry about it. It's StubHub. Like, they're legit.
But unfortunately, the Paramount informed Malik that the tickets that she had bought had already been scanned even before her daughter's arrival. And basically, she was told, if it's not Ticketmaster, they're not real. Alvin Henry with the Seattle Theater Group, which owns the Paramount, tells Cairo 7 TV that fake tickets, yep, they are a growing problem.
What happened last night was basically fraud, and that's why we need strong legislation at the federal and the state level so that we can protect the consumer from situations like this.
A lot of people were in the same boat. More than 280 people were turned away, apparently duped by those realistic-looking tickets that were purchased on common ticket reselling sites.
Have you ever tried to ship a car before? Do you know anyone that has ever tried to have their car shipped? I'm bringing up something because those that know what I'm talking about. That business right there is so unregulated. There's such, oftentimes than not, you can get a bad situation trying to get your car shipped. I've learned that being around pro athletes getting their car shipped. I'm bringing that up because I want to talk about the ticket purchase and exchange deal. Ticketmaster. The reason why, by the way, when we say Ticketmaster, most people think, it's robbery. I can't believe the fees that they charge. One of the biggest reasons why people still go to Ticketmaster, even with the high prices and the extra charges, is because there's a great chance that your tickets are going to be fine. And so when you talk about, Ursula, stealing moments from people, bringing your son or your daughter or your loved one to a concert or to some venue and you get there only to find out that, oopsie, you got scammed. It's one thing to get scammed because a lot of times, hopefully you guys are using credit cards and not debit cards to purchase these things because of the protection. But not only are you missing out on that, but you're missing out on the moment. This is why I do agree with the federal level needs to come in and regulate this to where Ticketmaster is not the monopoly on things, forcing people to go there. But this is some of the reasons why.
I feel like you get robbed there, too.
I have a Ticketmaster account, and it's on my phone, and it is clean every single time. Are the fees a little more? Yes. But who doesn't sometimes pay more for convenience and a peace of mind, Ursula? I know you do.
I do, and oftentimes I feel like, okay, I overpaid for this, but you know, I think it always goes back to the, if it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, these people who get scammed, and Chef, you said that you actually had two recent...
I've had two experiences with this. And gee, first of all, nobody goes on Ticketmaster because they're like, I want peace of mind. They go with Ticketmaster because that's the only option.
Exactly.
I mean, it's basically until this story, until I realize, oh my gosh, this has happened to me twice. Once through Ticketmaster when I bought tickets to an event in Port Townsend. And we were on the way to the festival when... I looked for the e-tickets, and Ticketmaster said, oh, no, we mailed them to you. Package never arrived. Another time, I was going to an Aqua Sox game, whole family, like 9 people. We show up, and they say, oh, those tickets have already been scanned, because I went through a third-party seller site, just like StubHub or SeatGeek, and the exact same thing happened. Apparently, a lot of these sites, what they do is they will sell excess inventory, but they'll sell it multiple times. And there's nothing the venue is supposed to do about it. You can't, like, I spent an hour on the phone with the ticket reseller being like, I need my money back. Nothing from those people. So I had to do a charge back with my credit card. And luckily, the Aqua Sox said, you know what? We've got a couple bleacher seats. We'll put you guys. They did the right thing because they had capacity. But man, to be out an entire day of planned activities because of these scammy third-party sites, and like, I'm supposed to be happy with Ticketmaster as my primary option?
Yeah, you made the comment that people don't get on there. Yes, they do. They get on there for peace of mind.
For safety and security?
Who does the NFL deal with? When you get their tickets from your friends,
it's or
you
want to
Ticketmaster. Who does NBA deal with?
So Ticketmaster. Also convenient.
Exactly. It's a very clean, clear system. It's gonna be guaranteed.
Yeah, we just have to be okay with big fat fees.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why they go to them.
Just a word of warning though to Seattle Aquarium's warning customers about a scam. Again, offering major discounts on tickets, and then it turns out these are not legitimate sales. So tickets to the Seattle Aquarium are only available at the gate or through their website. So if you're being offered something like 4 tickets for $9.95, it's a fake and fishy deal, they're saying. Don't fall for it.
Don't fall for it. Ursula, yesterday I had the honor to be a judge for the Seahawks dancers auditions, the final day of it. A lot of talent was in the room, but there was something that happened that I have got to tell you about it. I did not prepare for this moment. It was something I wasn't thinking about it. And if I had the opportunity to do it again, I would do something different. But I'll tell you that next on The Gene Ursula Show. It's Gene Ursula. And if anybody wondered why I believe that it got feisty between Ursula and I this morning, because let me tell y'all something. Ursula has lately been drinking coffee. And so what she tries to do is she tries to match my intensity. You've been good. Like 2 to 3 cups of coffee, Ursula. You sure that's good for you?
No, I'm sure it's not good for me. But it keeps me going. By the way, some people get offended if you or I laugh when we're having a very intense conversation. And I tried to explain sometimes that laugh is a way to take the tension out of the room. Not because we don't think a subject is very serious. Just want to clarify that.
You think people would like our show better if we were mad all the time?
Yes.
Mad radio?
I think some people.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So here's what we need to talk about. First, I had the honor and privilege to be asked to be judge of the final day of Seahawks dancers auditions. It was held over at Lumen Field. And it was a great honor to be able to do it. I want to establish that first. Now, I know that when, like, I've had friends and people like, oh, lucky you. You get the opportunity. Yes, I'm lucky because I was there to be able to see and help guys and gals be able to have their dream come true. So, yes, on that part of it. But what I didn't realize and what I just had no idea, there's a component of stress right there. And it was. The talent was incredible. The director, Courtney, does such a good job, and their coaches, they do such a good job of raising the level of talent. I'm talking about the dance moves. Like, when you go to a football game, there's probably a good chance you might see the Seahawks dancers out there, but you might not be focused on their moves or anything like that because it's a group. So each individual had an opportunity to come out, introduce themselves, say where they're from, what their occupation is.
So like a pageant.
Kind of. But then they got the opportunity to do your thing. What is your type of dance? What's your routine? And so you can kind of see different personalities and what they like. Some people like jazz and all that, hip hop, and just different dances. So that was really cool to see. And so it came down, it was like close to 70-something gals and guys that were there.
And then you whittle it down to what?
It came down to 28 total. So we just did the score. So we judged on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, 1 being the least, the solo performance. What do you give this person? So you might give a 5 here or 4 here and all that, 3 here, whatever the case. And then they had group where they'd come out with one other person and you judged a group. And with the group, you judged by presentation, athleticism, and the actual dance, right? And so you're kind of doing that. And it's kind of interesting, like you would think, sometimes I was insecure sitting there, right? Like, I'm not really an expert on the dance stuff. However, there were some that would come out. It didn't matter if you're an expert. They were so good that you're like, oh, my goodness, I've never seen anything like this. And you start to judge. So I loved everything about it.
How many judges were there?
10.
Okay.
There were 10 judges, and it was really cool. We're there from morning to the afternoon and just seeing. And so how they would do it is so everybody that tried out, you stand on one side of the room. And then on the other side of the room, they had the pom-poms rolled out, and they had the towels. So if you're a guy, you got a towel. And if you're a gal, you got the pom-pom. And so they call you out one by one. Contestant number 8 comes across the room to get their pom-poms. Contestant number 15 comes across. And so you're sitting there, standing there, waiting for your number to be called. Like, this is the part I want to tell you guys about. I was not expecting that part, right? Like, I was doing all this judging. I didn't know about the tension in the room. Imagine you are sitting there watching in real time and they say, hey, I just want to let you all know, thank you guys. If you don't make it, we still encourage you to come back again. Keep trying. We really appreciate your time. If you make it, you're going to get called and you'll come across and get the pom-poms. And oh, if you don't make it, thank you. And you guys can leave the same way you came back in.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is not a paid position, right?
Or no, they get paid.
They get paid.
They get paid. And so you get it one by one, and you're seeing it, and then now it's starting to dwindle down. And you can see on the floor, there's only a few pom-poms left.
Oh.
Right? The towels are gone. The guys got picked, and there's only a few pom-poms left. So there's like, it's down to like 5 pom-poms, yeah. But there's like 30, 40 something yeah. gals still waiting.
And you're an empathetic person and you're looking going, oh my gosh.
Right?
Soul crushing, dreams ending right here.
So finally, the last one gets called. Now I'm sitting there. I could no longer look anymore to my left anymore because I'm human. I'm empathetic. I could not look to my left anymore. All the ones that made it were right in front of me. So I'm watching. It was congratulations and all those things and they were happy. So I was getting my stuff together, getting ready to leave, saying goodbye to the judges. Awesome judges, by the way. Really appreciate you guys. And I had said, you know, congratulations to some of the folks out there. Here's where I didn't plan, Ursula. I messed up. I wasn't thinking. Because if I would have known this, I would have waited, right? So I'm sitting there saying my goodbyes and all that. And so I get my stuff and I'm leaving out. And I walk out towards my car. I didn't realize that the folks that did not make it were all out there standing there. So here I am walking, and one of the gals kind of like waved at me, and I was like, hi. And I'm just walking to my car like, this is awkward. Can you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't ready for that part of it. I would have waited inside for a little longer Had I known that, I didn't realize that I was going to walk out
maybe
to that.
It's okay. You see them and you can tell them, hey, great job. And
no, I don't want to say anything. I just walked to my car, Ursula. What do you mean? I don't. I can't say anything. I don't want to say nothing. I'm scared. I'm walking. But I just want to say congratulations to all of them, even the ones that didn't make it. I don't know who you are, but as far as, you know, if you're listening, please don't continue, because everyone, a no sometimes can lead to a big yes. So congratulations to everyone. Coming up next, Ursula, we're going to be talking about some graduation requirements have been waived for Washington's class of 2024. And I'm going to get your take on that next. Gene Ursula.